Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, and welcome to our scripture reflection for today. It's good to be back doing this after my recent travels, and I'll be with you now for the scripture reflections for the next several days through and including Monday, and then Tuesday I have to travel again. But let's look at the readings for today. Let's pray. Let's start the day with a deep and open heart and ears to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we come before you today renewed in our faith and in our zeal for defending life. We thank you, Lord, for the grace and strength that you give us each day. We thank you for the friends and collaborators we give you each day. We ask you to enable us to look at this new day with a new mind and a new heart, because we are a new creation in Christ. Every day is a new creation. We ask you, Lord, that we take that gift from your hands today and make the best use of it that we can, speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves, our unborn brothers and sisters. Forgive us our sins. We confess what we have done, what we have failed to do. With sincerity of heart, we turn to you, Lord, and we turn to our brothers and sisters and say, forgive the guilt of your people and give us a new heart and a new spirit. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading assigned for today is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, this is what I commanded my people. Listen to my voice. Then I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, so that you may prosper. But they obeyed not, nor did they pay heed. They walked in the hardness of their evil hearts and turned their backs, not their faces, to me. From the day that your fathers left the land of Egypt, even to this day, I have sent you untiringly all my servants, the prophets. Yet they have not obeyed me, nor paid heed. They have stiffened their necks and done worse than their fathers. When you speak all these words to them, they will not listen to you either. When you call to them, they will not answer you. Say to them, this is the nation that does not listen to the voice of the Lord its God or take correction. Faithfulness has disappeared. The word itself is banished from their speech. Responsorial psalm, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Well, friends, I want to comment on this reading and psalm, because they take us right to the heart again of what we're trying to do in Lent, which is to deepen our repentance from sin. Remember at the beginning of Lent, when the ashes were imposed on us, we were told, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. The Christian journey is a life of daily turning away from sin and turning toward the gospel of Christ. you know, in the ancient church, and it would be nice to return to this practice, when a person was baptized, they began by facing the West and renouncing sin, renouncing Satan, because the West symbolized evil, darkness, the sun sets in the West. You turn to the West and renounce sin. Then turn to the East, the place where the sun rises, the direction from which it is prophesied that the Lord will return. Face the East and say, I believe in God. I believe in Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church. And I will be faithful to him. A turning away. We go down into the water, a death to the life of sin, and then we rise up again. Same thing, by physical orientation, we are symbolizing in the flesh the change, the turning of mind. That's what repentance in Greek literally means, metanoia, changing of the mind. What I thought was okay, I now see was wrong. I renounce it. I will not do it again. And so these readings in this psalm talk about the hardness of the heart and turning the heart towards God. Now, we've reflected on other scripture passages where we saw that ultimately the difference between those who repent and those who do not, between those who believe in Christ and those who refuse to believe, between those who live a life of virtue and those who live a life of sin, between those ultimately who will be saved and those who will be condemned, is not a matter of what evidence is on the outside. Jesus said this when he said, on that day when I come back and judge the world, many will say, Lord, Lord, you taught in our streets. We ate with you and drank. And he will say, I never knew you. In other words, it's not that he's teaching in our streets. It's not that the cross is hanging around our neck or the rosary beads from the windshield of our car. It's not even that we are in church physically. It's whether our hearts are turned towards him. And so Jeremiah, in a passage we read today from the same chapter, chapter 7, in which he gives the temple sermon, says the problem with the people is that they didn't listen, they hardened their hearts. Now, the temple sermon was where Jeremiah again was saying, it's not the external things that matter, it's the changing of your heart, it's the metanoia, it's the repentance, it's the renunciation of evil that matters. He said, don't come into the temple and say, oh, we are safe. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We can continue with our life of sin because we are in the temple of the Lord and he will protect us. And Jeremiah said, no, he won't. In fact, he'll destroy this temple. Jeremiah was prophesying that the Babylonians would come in and do exactly what they did in the 6th century before Christ. And he said, it's not because of a military or political problem. It's because of a spiritual problem. It's because of a covenant problem. It's because you're rejecting the covenant. The destiny of the nation depends on whether you turn your hearts. So it is today. It's not just our own personal destiny in regard to salvation. It's the destiny of the nation. That depends on us turning our hearts to God. And so Jeremiah says here, they obeyed not, they did not pay heed, they walked in the hardness of their hearts. It recalls for us the second book of Chronicles, one of the most quoted Old Testament verses. Solomon dedicates the temple, and he has a long prayer of dedication, which is well worth reading there in 2 Chronicles. The prayer begins in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, God says he has heard Solomon's prayer. What Solomon said was, Lord, if your people sin, and even if they are punished for their sins, if they turn their heart back to you, there it is again, the turning of the mind, turning of the heart, turn from the west to the east, come back up out of the water, leave your sins in the tomb, come out with the risen Christ. If my people turn back to you, your people, then hear from heaven. Forgive their sin. Restore them. This is what Lent is about. And God answers, and this is the most quoted verse, or one of the most quoted verses, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, one time in the course of my nationwide travels for the pro-life cause, I was scheduled to give a talk, and as usual, they publicized the talk, sent out announcements, scheduled it. And this particular talk, the announcer for it said, Father Frank will speak tonight in such and such a church at 7:14 p.m. And that's unusual. That caught everyone's attention, right? Usually, you know, you schedule something. Oh, it's going to be scheduled for 7. It's going to be scheduled for 7:30. You schedule it on the hour, the half hour. This was 7:14 p.m. You know why? Because they were basing it on 2 Chronicles 7:14. Such a beloved verse. And exactly what the readings of today are talking about. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because he is speaking again today. The if you hear his voice doesn't mean if he speaks. It means if you hear. He's speaking constantly. He's speaking in his word. He's speaking through the interior movements of grace in your own mind and heart. He's speaking through others. He's speaking through those around you, even if they don't know that they are bearing a message from God. He's speaking in the circumstances of your life, the doors he opens, the doors he closes. He's always speaking. Jesus said, look, you know how to tell the weather. Recognize the move of God in your midst. And so if today you hear his voice, not if he speaks, if you hear him, don't harden your hearts like the Pharisees who saw the evidence of the man born blind and still rejected Jesus and rejected the man himself and kicked him out of the synagogue because he was believing in Jesus. They had the same evidence before their eyes that this Jesus was from God, but they hardened their hearts. Unlike the man himself, born blind and then healed, who turned to the Lord and said, who is he? Who is the one whom in whom I should believe? And Jesus said, it is I. And he worshiped him. Or like in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man from his place of torment said, send Lazarus to my brothers that they might not end up here too. And Father Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. No one has to go to them from the dead. They already have the message that they should help the needy. If today you hear his voice, they had the message. The Pharisees had the evidence in front of them that everybody else had. They also had the evidence of the raising of Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and word spread throughout the countryside. And then the Gospels tell us that those who hated Jesus and tried to silence him, tried to cancel him, were trying to kill Lazarus too. You remember that detail of the Gospels? They were trying to snuff out the evidence. Talk about hardness of heart. Not only does it not listen to the voice of God speaking through the evidence, speaking through the healed man born blind, speaking through the raised from the dead Lazarus, speaking through the water turned into wine and the crowds by the thousands fed with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The evidence is all over the place. The risen Jesus, with whom the apostles ate and drank after he rose from the dead, he speaks. Harden not your hearts. They tried to kill Lazarus so that there wouldn't be more evidence for people to believe in Jesus. And so the readings today urge us, don't harden your hearts, but listen. You know, I was with my friend and pro-life colleague, Pastor Stephen Broden, the other day, and he was preaching, and he said, this word, listen, doesn't just mean hear. It means intently lean in and listen. And he used an example is that if you're looking at your lottery ticket, and then when they start announcing the winning number, they say the first number, they say the second number, and both of them correspond to yours, you're listening. You're leaning in. You're paying attention. What's that next number going to be? Is it mine, the winning ticket? If today you hear his voice, listen. Like the Lord said both at the transfiguration and also at the baptism of Jesus, when the Father's voice was heard, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. But faithfulness, Jeremiah says in this reading, has disappeared. Doesn't that characterize the insanely evil times in which we are living now? The rebellion against God, the rebellion against life, the rebellion against truth. Can't even say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Faithfulness has disappeared. And then he says something I think is very instructive. Final point that I'll make here. The word itself is banished from their speech. It's not just that they're not faithful. They don't even talk about it. That's significant, isn't it? Because Jesus taught that it is not what goes into a person that makes him impure. Again, in line with the theme that we're tracing here. It's not what's the external that makes the difference for or against salvation. It's what Jesus says, it's what comes out of him. All kinds of malice and rash judgment and impurity and lust and pride and arrogance and all that stuff, hatred and unforgiveness. It's what comes out of him. Murderous intent, abortion. That's what renders someone impure. That's why we have to change, turn our hearts, open our hearts, listen. But Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're going to speak about what we're meditating on. That's why in Psalm 1, when you see the psalmist lay out the two ways, there's the way of salvation, there's the way of perdition. It says, the just man who flourishes like a tree planted near running water meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Mary, when she said yes to Gabriel, yes, you will be the mother of God. What did it say? Mary pondered all these things, the words of the angel, the words of Jesus. The gospel tells us Mary pondered all these things in her heart. We receive the word. We receive it. I sent to you untiringly all the prophets. You did not listen. You killed them. So the word itself, if they're unfaithful in their hearts, they don't even want to speak the word faithfulness. Why not? Well, because it's not in their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if faithfulness has disappeared, of course the word itself is going to be disappearing from their speech. You notice what's happening today with the ever more arrogant push of evil and deniers of the gospel. This is why they want to purge our speech. They certainly purge theirs. They don't mention the things that they don't believe in or that they don't talk about. And preachers who are weak don't mention certain words. Sin, for example. Will they even mention it? Conversion? Repentance? The words themselves vanish from their speech because they're not in their hearts. And then you have the enemies of truth who always want to muddle language. This is a key tactic. Muddle the language. Going back to the pro-life and abortion issue. Isn't this what the other side constantly does? Oh, it's not a person. It's not a heartbeat. It's not pain that the baby feels. It's not killing. I've often said, look at the speeches of those who defend abortion. All the politicians over all these years, the professors, the people who think they're so smart and they're writing in defense of baby killing. If you took all their speeches and dumped them into a Word program on your computer, you could do a search and there are certain words you'll never find. Blood, skull, dismember, decapitate, forceps, arms, legs. They don't speak about the reality of abortion, lest using those words, people will see the evidence and turn their hearts and forsake their sins and be healed and forgiven. The words themselves have vanished from their speech because they're not in their hearts. Let us meditate on the law of the Lord. Let us turn our hearts towards that law. Let us think on that law. Let us speak about that law. Let us live that law. Let us pray. Father, your people are called to repent, and we ourselves, Lord, as part of your people, we ourselves today certainly do repent. We turn from the west to the east. We rise up from the death of sin to the life of Christ. We leave that tomb. We leave the world of sin behind. We have become a new creation in Christ. Lord, deepen our repentance today. Let every day of Lent, let every day of our lives be a deeper measure of repentance, that we may have a deeper measure of joy and of life. Bless all your people's needs and intentions, the prayer intentions that are being left in the comments, the prayer intentions that are being held in the silence of our hearts. Lord, bless your people with what they need. Health and wisdom and light and strength and consolation and guidance and joy and peace and salvation. And now we sum up our prayers by offering the prayer Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, bless you, friends. It's great to be with you for these scripture reflections. Again, spread the word. I'll be with you for these coming days as I am here at headquarters, catching up with staff, advancing our projects, doing the work that God has given us to do. And let's come together each day for these times of prayer. Don't miss our evening broadcast. I went live last night. I'll be going live tonight for Praying for America at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then tonight, a special clergy seminar at 9 p.m. It's open to everybody, but you might want to invite your pastors to tune in because we're going to talk about why and how they need to address the abortion issue, something that we want them to do, something that's at the core mission of Priests for Life. God bless you. And we'll talk to you later.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.